All right. Hey, guys, welcome. And at all of our locations or you guys that are joining us at home, we are excited to have you all this weekend. Before I dive into the sermon for today, I want to just kind of go back and kind of give you a little bit of vision for our Christmas services coming up on the 22nd through the 24th. All right. Our Christmas services are a time every single year, listen, where our attendance swells, our online attendance will swell, but that doesn't just happen naturally. Okay. It happens because many of us who have found a great joy and walking with the Lord this year know people that we love and care about, and we want to invite them in. Hey, there's a couple times a year where the church really tries to make it super easy for us to turn into people that want to reach out to those that are around us. This is one of those times, all right? Our Christmas services are going to be a great experience, all right? It's going to be filled from the parking lot all the way in. I'm talking about snow, coffee, refreshments, polar bears, the whole thing, okay? Maybe not polar bears. There will be snow, though, literally, all right? Your kids are going to have an incredible time, Christmas crafts, all that. We want to make it an enjoyable time for people to come. Of course, the centerpiece is going to be adoring Christ and talking about how we can adore him from Psalm 95. This is going to be a special time, all right? So we just want to call the church unashamedly and boldly. Many of you guys are making lists. You're checking them twice. Hey, make a list of some people that God has brought into your presence over this year that you care about enough to bring them in and to see if they would be either blessed to come to a Christmas service or be blessed by getting it online, all right? When the Christmas service is launched, they'll also be live online, and so you can send those out. My wife and I are trying to think of 10 people that we can invite that God has brought into our family this, you know, into kind of our orbit this year personally, in person, and then also 10 people that might be blessed when just getting a link from us on a text message that says, hey, I hope you're blessed by this Christmas, so I hope you guys will take us up on that. Hey, one other thing about that that's cool, this year, man, we are giving back to the community this year in our Christmas services, all right? We are doing a coat drive for the foster care system in the Triad, okay? Right now, I'll just give you an example. In Guilford County alone, I know a lot of our churches spread all over, but just in Guilford County, over 500 kids in the foster care program in this county alone. These more kids are entering, and they're having to stay longer with courts delayed and all of that. Man, what if we could put as many coats on these children's back as we can this Christmas. So every time we have our services open over that week, the 22nd through the 24th, man, bring a kid's coat with you. Bring a bunch of them, all right? We're going to have something set up. For those of you guys that are online that want to participate in this at our Regional Road campus, at our church offices, that entire week, we're going to have an opening for you to come in and just drop them off. So if you're participating online, that's fine, but you want to participate in this, man, you can just come on up here and drop them off. Man, let's overwhelm the systems here in the Triad with generosity here with this coat drive, all right? Let's dive in. If you have a copy of Scripture, I want to invite you to take it out and turn with me to Psalm chapter 98, all right? If you've been around Mercy Hill very long, you're going to know this about me. I love the Psalms. I'm in the Psalms pretty much every single day. Why? Because I know that we are emotional people, and the Psalms help us to process our emotions through a God lens, okay? The Psalms help us to process what God is doing in our life emotionally, and it helps us to do that through a God lens. I know it's in vogue right now to feel your feels, okay? To feel, you know, get in your feelings and all that. The problem is, the danger in that is that if you're doing that without a God lens, your emotions will begin to throw you around all over the place, okay? I don't know if you've realized this or not. I'm sure that you have in our personal lives, certainly in our culture. We are a bunch of overreactors to things, aren't we? I mean, you think about reality television. You think about the political discourse in our day. You think about the way we react to circumstances in life. This is what I know is true of myself. I think it's true of our culture, all right? Many times, we underreact to things that are pretty big, and that's a different sermon for a different day, okay? But many times, we also overreact to things that are really small, all right? Things that should not engender the type of reaction, we end up overreacting to those things, okay? Probably Christmas time, the most classic example of that is Buddy the Elf, okay? Santa is coming. You guys remember, right? It's just the crazy reaction. And it's like, hey, I'm not saying that ain't good that Santa's coming or whatever, but it's just like the reaction is so much so. Here's what I want to talk to you about this weekend. Y'all, when it comes to joy, remember we're hitting these little phrases, glory to God, peace on earth, all that. Joy to the world. Listen, when it comes to joy, the Bible, the book of Psalms, helps us to reserve our deepest joy for something that's actually worth it, all right? It helps us to reserve our deepest joy, our ultimate joy, our lasting joy for something that is actually worth it. Let's just be honest about the cultural Christmas, okay? The cultural Christmas is about the biggest overreaction anybody has ever had. Why? Because if you divorce the Bible, God, the King that's gonna come reign, the new heavens and the new earth, if you're not thinking about those things, then all of a sudden we get all hyped up over a bunch of small things. We get hyped up about a new Hallmark movie. We get hyped up because it's the end of the year or because it's snowing. We're celebrating Christmas, joy to the world. Why? Because it's finally the socially acceptable time to stir your hot chocolate with a candy cane. These are silly. They're small. Without the big depth of joy that comes through a God lens, we are overreacting. Without the God of the Bible, y'all, I've told you, Christmas is a holiday designed to make us feel good for no good reason, okay? And we don't want that today. What we want to see today is that there is joy to the world. There is a deep, lasting joy. There is a King that is coming that is worth every drop of joy that we can muster, all right? And that's what I want to show you today, big idea. God is intent on bringing joy to the world. Without this God, without this King, man, we're getting all these overreactions about joy to the world and all of this, but it's really over things that are too small. It's not a good reason, it's an overreaction, but there is a King coming who is worthy of every drop. There is a King coming who matches the endless and boundless joy that we should have with his endless and boundless goodness, okay? So what I would say is this, man, if we're gonna talk about joy as a culture, if we're gonna write joy to the world, if we're going to hang the word joy on a Christmas tree, man, if we're going to talk about joy, let's have it, all right? Let's have joy, and let's see the joy of a coming King. Here we go, Psalm chapter 98. We're going to spend a lot of time just walking through, and then towards the end, I want to show you a few things that we can kind of take as markers of the joy that we have, all right? Here we go, Psalm 98. Let's just start and just kind of start walking through it here. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. This passage starts with this idea of a new song, all right? Psalm 33 talks about a new song. Psalm 40 talks about God puts a new song in our mouth. Okay, the idea here is that when God does something fresh, there is a new song that comes out. You could even say it like this. There is something about a new song that corresponds to a fresh work of God. Now, I don't want you to hear me say for any reason, okay, and I don't want you to hear me saying that I'm knocking the old songs, okay? I'm not knocking the old songs at all. Man, I've heard people say, man, the music at Mercy Hill, that's not my culture, whatever. Hey, it ain't my culture either, okay? The culture that I come from and even my heart language of music, when I go home is busting the guitar with my dad and he's got a harmonica dropped around his neck and he's stomping a washboard and we're singing Amazing Grace, not My Chains Are Gone, Amazing Grace, okay? So I get the old songs and I love the old songs and we do a lot of the old songs and we talk about them. I quote them a good bit because they're in my soul, but there is just something new about a new song that corresponds to a fresh work. Can we just praise God today that after 8 years at Mercy Hill, our music and worship team releases a new album. Why? Because God is doing some new stuff. He's doing new things and that produces a new song or it produces, hey, a fresh take on an old song, right? It may not necessarily literally be a new song, but it's the newness of heart when God is doing something in our life. I have walked with many people through very dark times. That's kind of part of being a shepherd and being a pastor. And I remember one couple that was walking through some hard things. Man, they were coming out of a very dark season, a broken season. God was bringing restoration and redemption and he was restoring to them the years that the locusts had taken away, and it was a beautiful thing. And one of the things I'll never forget that they said, the music has taken new life. Songs that we've sung forever, songs that we sing in church, songs that we used to just kind of go through the motions, man, they have taken on a new life. God is doing something fresh in our life, and the music is coming out. You know, one thing I think we could say about this before we move on, church, is just here. Hey, right at the end of 2020, man, is the song that God has put in your heart, is it fresh or is it stale? Man, is there something dull that is going on right now? Is there a little bit of boredom? Is there any warmth to your relationship with God and the songs that are coming out of your heart and the praise and adoration of our God? Well, hey, listen, all of us have been at times in our life in places where we would say, man, I wouldn't want to admit that, but things have gotten a little stale. things have gotten a little dry. I mean, we've all been there, okay? If you've been a believer very long, I promise you, we have all been there. What's the remedy? Well, let's just go back to the Psalms and see what he does. See, the fire is this whole thing about God's marvelous works. The fire is the salvation spoken of, and that salvation and marvelous works, and listen, remembering God. Hey, let's move closer to the fire. Look what he says again. For he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nation. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. The psalmist is not breaking out and joy to the world over candy canes, okay? The psalmist is breaking out in an idea of joy to the world because of the marvelous works and the mighty hand and the salvation that comes from one God. The salvation that comes. You know, Isaiah picks up on this, almost writes the exact same words in Isaiah 52, and he says, his bare arm has brought salvation. When God moves in the world, there is reason for us to proclaim it, to shout. There's reason for us to have joy. I want us to get closer to the fire today and to get some of that warmth back a little bit. Maybe we want joy to burst in our heart. Let's go back to the source. Hey, let me ask you this. You know, the psalmist is certainly thinking of some things that I don't know what they are. Nobody knows, okay? But it's probably not one thing. It's probably the psalmist is thinking about all these things that God has done in his life. What are the things that God has done for you in 2020? Man, is there a marriage that was on the rocks that is being restored? Man, is there a healing that took place in your life? Is there something, you know, man, did you think there is no way that we're going to make it through this fall with our kids in school and all that kind of stuff? And you know, here we are, and you made it. You know, maybe it's something else. Maybe you were thinking to yourself at the beginning of this year, February, March, I will never be, in a position financially again to make it, and God has turned that thing around. Look, I know that's not true for everybody. I know there's a lot of people that some of those things have gone the other way, but when they do go the way that they have for some in our congregation, there ought to be a song. There ought to be a praise. There ought to be a shout of joy over the marvelous things that God has done. Can we count our blessings, one of those old songs, and name them one by one? What about going a little bit deeper? Because it's not just about the circumstances that God has brought into our life. Certainly the psalmist may have had something in mind here, a battle that was won. Maybe God has moved for them. Certainly he's probably looking back and he's thinking about the Red Sea and the cloud and the wilderness and things like that, maybe, all right? But you know what? For us in the New Testament, as we look back and we understand these words, salvation, marvelous things, what's got to come to our mind is the most marvelous thing, the salvation that has been brought. You know, there was a battle. The psalmist might be thinking about a battle. Well, there was a battle in our life as well. There's a battle in every human heart. And that battle is that we have one that we have already lost. It's the battle of sin. It meant that we were sealed in death for all eternity. We would never be in God's family again. What are the marvelous things that God has done? Well, you know, he sent his son into the world to take on human flesh. He sent his son to live without sin so that he could be a sacrifice for those who are filled with sin. You know, he opened up a door in the resurrection that you and I could walk through. Jesus is not the only one that comes out of that grave. You and I do as well when we join him in his resurrection. You know, our God has not abandoned you, even though for many of us, for all of us, even after coming to the knowledge of a Savior and coming into the family of God, we needed his steadfast love to continue to be good to us because we have still stumbled. We have fallen into sin. But he has not let us go. Y'all, there are marvelous things at our campuses. There are marvelous things that our God has done. There are things that would be so different if his mighty hand had not intervened, but his hand intervened. And for that, there should be a shout. For that, there should be joy. For that, there should be a praise. There should be a joyful noise. Look what it says. All the ends of the earth. I'm going to talk about the ends of the earth here in a little bit. But all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into a joyous song and sing praises. Man, the Bible don't say you got to be good at singing. It's about joy, okay? It's about the joyfulness in which we come to God with our praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the lyre with the sound of the melody and with the trumpets and the sound of the horn, make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. I don't know if any of you guys brought your lyre or your trumpet, okay, today. Maybe you brought something. This is the idea, man. Can we bring anything that we have? Can we make a noise that shows the world, man, the joy that we have because the King is coming? We're not the only ones that are going to do that. Look what it says about creation. Let heaven and nature sing. It's not just about us, okay? It's about nature itself. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. Y'all, here's the question that I started with in the intro, okay? What is it that inspires us to have joy at Christmas? Is it the magic of the season? Is it candy canes? Is it something like that? Or is it this fact that we know that there is a king who came and is coming again, okay? There is a king who came and is coming again, and one that brings with him a kingdom that is filled with justice, a kingdom in which all things that are sad come untrue, a kingdom of the new heavens and the new earth. Look what it says. Y'all, this is all about the king, okay? The question I asked is, what is that thing that corresponds to the joy that we're all supposed to have? And that thing is the coming of the king. Look at verse 6 with me one more time. Trumpets with the sound of a horn make a joyful noise. Listen, before the king, the Lord. Here is the imagery of Psalm 98, okay? Let me go ahead and give you the imagery of Psalm 98. I want you to put yourself 1,000 years ago, and you're a child that's living in Israel. And maybe you're a kid, you fill your days with stuff like this, man. You go out and play, you go out and do chores. Man, your family comes together and you worship in the morning, you worship in the evening, and it's a wonderful life. But the problem is that all the men in your village are gone. Why? Because there's a battle. And when there's a battle, they all got to go. And all the men are gone, and you're a kid, and you're still trying to go about your daily little 6-year-old, 7-year-old life, you know, and you're trying to do your chores, and you're trying to play and all that, but there is an absolute ice-cold chill in the air. And although the adults that are left behind are trying desperately not to put all the children on edge, you hear snippets, you see the cutting eyes. You look around, and you realize, man, why is everybody hiding everything? Why are they getting ready? Like we're all going on some big camping trip and we're not gonna be home for a long time. What is going on here? And then you begin to hear words like things like the Philistines and slavery and what happens when families are separated and if the men don't come back. And you can just feel, and it begins to weigh on you. And even as a 5, 6, 7-year-old kid, it's beginning to kind of crush you. You got that mental image. Now here's what I want you to see. Psalm 98 is about that type of image. Maybe the kid's playing in the dirt and all of a sudden you catch a sound that is on the horizon. But you know what? The sound isn't war. The sound is not an enemy. The sound is of jubilation. The sound is of dancing. The sound is music. And suddenly coming up over the hill, who is it? It's the king. The fathers are returning. Peace has come to our land. They have won the victory. Where there is melancholy, there is music. Where there was, you know, danger, there is dancing. This is what's going on. Where there was worry, all of a sudden there was worship breaking out over the God who has worked salvation through his king. That's Psalm 98, all right? Many of us kind of look at Psalm 98 and we don't realize, man, it's not just victory over a battle. I think as we as believers look back, I've told you before, man, the Psalms are about a lot of things. The Psalms are about David. The Psalms are about Israel. The Psalms are about Jesus. The Psalms are about us. And we look back and we realize, wait a minute, there is a king coming who has not just won a battle. He won the battle over sin and death. There is no sting for us. Here he comes over the horizon, and what wells up in the people of God is joy. You know, for many of us, maybe you realize this, Psalm 98 is the psalm that inspired the song that we sing, okay, Joy to the World. I actually read that it's probably the most popular Christmas carol in all of the U.S., all right, and has been for a long time. It was written in the 1600s by a guy named Isaac Watts. But here's the thing that maybe you don't know about Psalm 98 and the song Joy to the World. Joy to the World had nothing to do with Christmas. Okay, we sing it. Many of us even sing it wrong. We sing joy to the Lord, joy to the world, the Lord has come. That ain't what it says. It says the Lord is come. All right, the song was written all about, yes, the king has come once, but the vision of this passage is what happens when the king comes again. And I don't have time to go through all of the book of Revelation for us today. I know the pandemic's got some people thinking about Revelation, okay? We're thinking about it and lining up dates and all that, and if that's your thing, that's fine. Here's what I know. Jesus wins in the end, and there is a time that Psalm 98 will be fulfilled, and Jesus Christ will come over that proverbial horizon, and victory comes with him, and he brings a kingdom in which there is no sin, there will be no tears, and we will live in God's sight under his reign and rule, glorifying him with every part of our life, not just our songs, but with our work and with our culture and with our interacting with each other. And that will be our life for all eternity. Nobody captures this image better than C.S. Lewis in the last book of the Chronicles of Narnia. in the last battle, okay? And in the last battle, there's this beautiful picture of the characters of the book finally entering into heaven. And what is the refrain? Further up, further in. Further up, further in. There is no end to Aslan's country. There is no end to what he is going to do. This is what C.S. Lewis says in the very end of his book. And if this is a spoiler for you, y'all, the book's been out for like 80 years, okay? So I can't, you know. But this is the very end when the characters are reaching that final destination, Aslan's country. They're reaching heaven. They're reaching the new heavens and the new earth. Here's what it says. All their life in this world, this one, okay, the one that we're in, all their life in this world and their adventures in Narnia had been only the cover and the title page. Think about that. It had been the cover of the book and that first page, and now at last they were going to chapter one of the great story which no one on earth has ever read, which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before. That's what Psalm 98 is about. Man, we praise. There is joy. Jesus came. He's going to come again. He was born so that he could work for us, cross, resurrection, secure our victory, and one day he will come to institute it fully. He will bring with him a kingdom where the murder rates in Greensboro, North Carolina are not surging. He will bring a kingdom in which children are, and he will bring a kingdom in which there are not 12,000 kids in North Carolina that are sitting in the foster care system. He will bring a kingdom in which there is no abortion. He will bring a kingdom in which there is no virus and there is no loneliness because of the virus, and there is no suicide because of loneliness. He will bring a world when there is no cancer. I think about this personally in my life, and I've caught visions of this in my life. Y'all, he will bring a world in which my little baby girl, Faith Ann, is fully healed. He will bring this world. This is the corresponding joy. Don't miss it, church. Don't miss the joy. There is deep joy for the church. This is what the passage said. It said the rivers are going to clap and the hills are going to sing. If the rivers are going to clap and the hills are going to sing, what do you think we're going to do? That's the joy that we go after. So, hey, big application for us as we're trying to kind of make this kind of applicable for our, what's going to be different tomorrow than it is today? Make a joyful noise because of the joy that God brings to the world. Every single Christmas, our culture is tempted to the biggest overreaction of all time, because without this king and without his second return and without the kingdom that he is bringing, in which we will live glorifying him for all time, without that kingdom, then we are left to talk about joy in the world over candy canes and Christmas songs, and it's a fire through a television. All it is something that can engender some nostalgic feelings, but has absolutely no way of delivering the heat. And I don't want us to be abandoned to that this Christmas. Man, this Christmas, we need to get into the joy. If we're going to talk about joy, let's have it. Hey, for you, what makes you sing with a joyful noise? Listen, is it something that is too small? Hey, is the Christmas season just enough for you? Is family coming back around enough for you? Is a life circumstance, a clean bill of health, a little bit more money, a promotion, whatever, is that enough to create that kind of the ultimate joy, the deep well of joy to well up in you? See, the sneaky reality to that is if it's enough, something small like that, to make you sing for joy, it'll also be enough to crush you when it's taken away. See, you were never meant to have the ultimate depth of joy over things that are that small. Many of us spend our life like the proverbial kid that's playing in the slum, and he's playing in a mud puddle, and it's finally his turn, and nobody's around. He's in the mud puddle, and somebody benevolent comes by, and they want to pick him up, maybe a family member, and they say, man, we want to take you to a vacation at the beach. I'm going to show you the biggest mud puddle you've ever seen in your life. Kid's never seen the beach. He doesn't understand the concept, and he fights and scraps because he's so satisfied with that little puddle. And that is where so many of us are during Christmas. We are overreacting. We're talking about joy to the world over very small things. Listen, if we're satisfied too easily, we'll be crushed too easily. If we are prone to sing for joy over things that aren't worthy, we will be crushed by things that aren't worthy. When relationships fail, when health fails, when money is taken away, when our time in this life is coming to an end, y'all, Psalm 98 anchors us against such overreactions, okay? It allows us to sit in an abiding joy over a coming king, and it will change the way that we live. I want to show you three ways it'll change the way we live quickly here, okay? The first one comes right out of these verses. I'm going to read these verses, then I'll tell you what it is. Verse 2, he has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. Verse 3, all the ends of the earth. Verse 4, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Verse 7, the world and those who dwell in it. That's everybody, okay? It didn't say in this country, in this place, the world and all those who dwell. He will judge the world with righteousness, the peoples of the world with equity. Here's the first of three quickly, okay? Our heartbeat as a church should be to bring bring others into our joy. We will not do that if our joy is in the mud puddles. But if we understand that the ultimate joy is putting our trust, hope, and faith in the King that is coming, that is secured for us through the gospel of Jesus Christ, his life, death, resurrection, sending of the Spirit, he has sealed us into his family. We will want to bring others into that joy as well. All right, are we committed as a church? Are you committed as a family? Are you committed as an individual? Man, is our heartbeat to see the joy that we have spread to the nations? You guys know, I've said this before, you know, missionary endeavor, that's not ultimate. Man, God created us for worship. The reason missions exist is because there are places in the world where worship doesn't exist. That's why we do the missionary endeavor. You know, just to think about the song, we do missions right now because not all the nations prove, not all the nations repeat the sounding joy. There are opportunities for you right now. Many of you at Mercy Hill, whether you're single, whether you're a family, is God drawing your heart to the nations? Man, the company that we use to send most to the nations, I got a hold of their secret list, okay? But there are jobs all over the world. We need single people to go to unreached villages in Southeast Asia. We need somebody to go to sub-Saharan Africa to be a homeschool teacher for a few missionary families. Man, we need somebody with the chops to backpack through the most remote regions of Mexico, sharing the gospel among lost villages. We need medical strategists in rural hospitals. We need single women that are willing to teach refugees. We need somebody to go to East Europe that knows a little bit about baseball to help with a company there that has started. Now, those things are not the point, none of it. Those things are platforms in order that we can get there and begin the gospel presentation and begin the missionary endeavor. Hey, is God drawing your heart? This year, we had 31 of our people fill out an Acts 1:8 assessment, which is the first step of saying, man, my yes is on the table. Would you be number 32? Text send me to 41411. The second thing I would say about this deep joy, when we get away from the candy canes and the mud puddles, okay, and when we get our eyes on the deep abiding joy of the coming King, then our joy will be evident in our worship. Verse 4 said what? Make a joyful noise. This is one of those things, okay? I might step on some toes here. That's fine. Ain't the first time, okay? There are some people, I bet you, that will say to me, and I've heard it said, they say, well, man, singing just ain't really my thing. Well, let me just open up a Bible and let's figure out what else just ain't really your thing. Is faithfulness in a marriage your thing? Is generosity your thing? Is evangelism your thing? What else does God call you to do that you're just kind of like, nah, that ain't really my bag, you know? That's not what the Bible says. The Bible is telling us here that we need to be a people who make a joyful noise. Let's just get it all out on the table, all right? A refusal to praise God in song is disobedience. We are called to praise him with the lyre and the trumpet, with our voices, with all of our life. I'm not saying that worship is only in a worship service singing, but it certainly is that. And so we should be excited about that. I mean, there's only a couple of weeks toward Christmas. This is what I would call you to do. Hey, can we sing the rest of our Christmas songs over the rest of this year, singing about the birth of Christ with Psalm 98 in mind? Man, he came, but he's going to come again. And when he comes, he's bringing the new heavens and the new earth, all right? Hey, that's the second thing. Third and final thing that I want to show you. Man, when we get this idea of a true abiding joy right, our joy should produce generosity, all right? It should overflow. And you say, well, where does that come from? Well, I want to talk to you for just a second. I don't have time to go all the way into this, but I do want to point you to one verse. You don't have to turn there. You can just jot it down. 2 Corinthians 8, 1 and 2 is so interesting to me. Here's what it says. We want you to know, brothers, this is Paul talking, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, listen, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty. You think, well, how can you have one of those with the other? But that's what it says. Abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a well wealth of generosity on their part. Y'all, you can see it all throughout the Bible. You can look at the story of Zacchaeus. You can look around. Hey, when people catch the joy of the coming king, they open their hands. And what I would say, y'all, is that God is calling us as a church to some big things in 2021. And as we go into our multiply offering and our multiply offering moment that we're gonna have today, I want us to remember that the deep abiding joy of the coming king releases us to be able to forsake smaller joys in order to give. That is the nature of sacrifice, isn't it? Giving up something that you love for something that you love even more, all right? Hey, here's what I want to do. As we kind of transition now, we're going to talk about multiply here for a few minutes. And you guys know we've been talking about the multiply lanes every week. Man, we want to plant the care center in Winston-Salem. I want to double the amount of emerging leaders that we have. We've been talking about some of these different things, all right? Hey, here's one of the most exciting ones I have to share with you is our church planning couple for 2021. Paul and Lori, you guys come on up here. Hey, can we just, as a church across all of our campuses, can we give it up for Paul and Lori as they're making their way here to the stage? Man, I've known Paul and Lori now for probably 8 years or so. I feel like you guys entered Mercy Hill in the Burr Mill days, so y'all are some of those faithful few, and we are so excited to be talking to you guys today about what God has been working in you guys for the last few years that's culminating in 2021. So here's the deal. I just got a couple questions for y'all. You need no introduction. Most of the church probably knows you guys, but for those that don't, man, what is y'all's story with Mercy Hill? Just tell us a little about your family. Family, that kind of thing.
So we came in the Burr Mill days. The church was about 9 months old, and we were some of the oldest people in the room, but we didn't care. We loved it. We saw God was going to do something, and we saw that in our kids. Our son was the only teenager for a number of years, but he was mentored by the tech team and loved on, and now he's on a church plant in Roanoke and on the tech team there and serving them. And we came on staff in January of that next year, and you guys just took an old guy and used him and loved it, and we have just been a part of the church here and fell in love with everything about it.
Man, I love that. I love y'all's story. You know, Billy was kind of the youth group for a few years himself, so it's just cool to see him go out on a church plant as well. Now what God is calling you guys to do. One of the things that we are so excited about is that this is kind of a different thing for us, and that's okay. And when it comes to church planning, you know, campuses, man, we move toward, man, what are we doing that we can replicate somewhere that people are coming from? But a church plant for us is really about the calling of the called that are in our congregation. You guys have had a really unique ministry, Racetrack, man, where you're from, your background, that has drawn your heart to a place like Reidsville, which is not that far from here, a little bit of a different culture maybe than just the trad, strictly speaking. Talk to us a little bit about why Reidsville and what you're excited about with that.
So, you know me, we've been around. You hung out with me at a racetrack on Saturday night with a bunch of rednecks having fun, and that's our heart. Lori grew up in a small town. I tell people my neck is red and my collar is blue. So that's our heart. So we wanted to go somewhere where, like you talked about tonight, we wanted to take the gospel to somebody and show them the ocean instead of the child, you know, instead of the mud puddle. And we started looking into places and praying about 2 years ago, like, God, what would you have us do? We want to step out. We love Mercy Hill, love being here, but we just felt like you had something for us. And he made it abundant clear over the last few months. We put our yes on the table, and Reidsville was the place. There's 14,000 people in Reidsville, 91,000 people in Rockingham County, and we just want to take and put a gospel-centered church there and just see him glorified.
Amen. Amen. Lori, I know this is your heart as well, some of your background and things that you experienced growing up, and you have a heart for that type of community as well, right?
Right. Just to see like this type of church with the gospel-centered message replicated somewhere else in a smaller community where we can reach out to those that we are, you know, ministering to, like through our schools and different things like that, who would feel comfortable coming in church door and saying, I hear the gospel message and Jesus in my place.
Amen. Amen. Well, hey guys, how can we know this is a journey. I mean, you guys are entering kind of the residency phase and there's a lot to be done, money to be raised, team to be raised up. But over the next 6 or 7 months, how can we be praying specifically for you guys and Hope Church?
So it's what you just said. The next 6 months, we are going to be raising up a team. We're going to be funding and financing a launch, and just to build relationships. We signed papers Monday to move to Reidsville, and we're going to build relationships in the community, and we're just excited about that, and that's our prayer for the next 6 months, is everything that goes into a launch.
Amen. Well, this is not the end. You guys will be seeing them again, kind of the beginning of a journey here. But we're certainly going to be praying for you guys and lifting y'all up. Hey, church, would you guys give them a hand again and all that God is doing? Hey, thank y'all so much today. Amen. Amen. Well, I remember, many of you guys remember, when I came to the church 2 or 3 years ago, and we can see the direct impact of the finances that we raise. I remember saying to the church 2 or 3 years ago, we have partnered with a lot of churches. You know, we have partnered with a lot of plants, but we want to see the leaders raised up, the teams go out, the financial part of it. We want to see it from in the house so that it's truly multiplication out of what God is doing out of Mercy Hill. And you guys stepped up and you opened your hands and you have continued to do that for 2 or 3 years. And this is the result, not just in Tampa, not just in Roanoke, but now going to communities like Reidsville right here in our backyard. It's going to be an incredible thing to watch, all right? Hey, we're going to transition now, strictly speaking, into our kind of time of really getting into this moment that we have talked about for the multiply offering. So, hey, if you guys are here or if you're at one of our locations, all right, right in the seat back in front of you, I'm gonna ask you to get this card out. And if you are online with us and you're watching this today, then you can go to our website. Right on the front of the website, this is what it looks like. It's very simple. You're gonna be able to see that bottom box there. It says make a commitment. That's what we're doing today, okay? Some of you guys may feel called today or are ready today. Maybe you've already been thinking about this. You wanna give your offering for the multiply offering for this whole month. You want to go ahead and do it today, that's fine. Others of us maybe are still thinking about it, or others of us maybe are going to maybe take that step here in a couple of weeks before the end of the year. But today we all want to do something together in unity, and that is, man, what have you been talking about? What has God been laying on your heart? Are you open to see him maybe even move that around today during this moment? We've been praying over this moment, and we're praying that the Holy Spirit will move some things around, all right? We are going to go into a time of song where we're not going to sing and praise. What we're going to do is we're going to reflect. Man, we're going to hear from God. We're going to think about the blessings that he's given us over this year. We're going to think about what is possible for our family. And then we are going to have a moment, whether you're online or whether you're at one of our locations, we're going to have a moment that we can commit for this year's multiply offering all together, okay? Hey, what does this look like for some of us? Hey, for some of us at Mercy Hill, this is going to look like, man, you're newer. You found us online. You've been coming, and you've never given anything to not just a church, but maybe to anything, maybe to a nonprofit at all. Maybe that's just kind of a part of your life. You haven't thought about it a ton. Maybe today and this week is a commitment. Today is a commitment to give something for the very first time. Others of you maybe are sporadic in what you give, and maybe today is an opportunity for you to commit to say, man, I want to actually move forward with a full tithe. I want to bring God a tenth of what he has done in my life. Hey, there are others of you across our locations or online that maybe you know that God has given you significant resources to handle. You understand the Northeast campus and the church planning. You're looking at the magnitude of the vision and you're thinking to yourself, man, this takes significant resources to do all this. You're right, it does. Maybe God's brought you here for a reason. Maybe some of you that I'm talking to right now are thinking to yourself, I keep thinking, man, I'm going to do a major gift. I'm going to do something at some point. Hey, maybe now is the time. I'm going to call you to that even now. Maybe that's a stock gift. Maybe it's something else. What can you do that will move the needle in terms of what we are trying to do here at Mercy Hill? Some of you might have come in already, haven't thought about a number. Maybe God's going to change that in the next little bit here as we go over a song. Here's what I know, okay? We are in a unique moment culturally. Maybe our culture has never seen greater need with where people are spiritually, with where they are in terms of their emotional health. And here's the thing about the church. Man, God puts the church in place for moments like this, all right? When the culture is at its most needed time, when they are in need, man, the church is poised to strike and to make an incredible impact for the kingdom. That moment is here. Y'all, we have a huge vision for 2021, and I pray that God will do some radical things across our campuses and online with those of you that are at home, and let's see the type of offering that we need to get rolling in 2021 and all of this stuff happen here today, all right? We know the generosity of the church fuels the mission. We know that the mission is going to go about as far as the generosity of God's people takes it, so let's lean all the way way in, all right? Hey, let's have a moment. Here's what I want you to do online or here. Man, let's take this time to reflect. Pray. What would God have you do at some point during this song? Man, you want to fill this card out with your family. And then I'm going to come back right at the end, and that's going to be it. We're going to do a send out. You could drop the cards out on the way out, or you're going to be able to kind of click a submit online. Hey, let me say one more thing. Man, some of you are like, man, I don't want to put my name and email and all that. Maybe that weirds you out. That's fine. Don't then, okay? If it makes you feel weird, don't do it. All right, but this is really about you and what God is doing in your heart today. So don't miss out on it just because of that. You guys take some time to reflect online as well, and I'll come back here in just a minute.
Mountains and
Father God, we thank you so much for this night. Lord, we thank you for what you have done in our church over 2020. God, we have seen marvelous things. We have seen your salvation. And Lord, we just pray that through this offering, through the multiply offering, God, you will do it again. Lord, we pray that you will do with it more than we can ask or think, God, in these multiply lanes. And God, we just pray that you would be glorified. To your name be the glory, God, from here to the ends of the earth. Father, I pray that you would use us as you have in the past. In 2021, in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, hey guys, now is the time. Listen, if you are walking out of one of our campuses, there are going to be some buckets outside where you can drop those commitment cards in. If you're online, now is the time for you to click that so that you can make sure that you get your commitment in. Hey, these are only commitments, okay? The offering is open all the way through December 31st. You can text MHGIVE to 41411. You can visit mercyhillchurch.com/give, and we can't wait to see what God is going to do. It's been great worshiping with y'all. Mercy Hill, you are sent out.